Good evening and welcome to worship on this Wednesday night. Thank you for your presence here. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, Mother God, Creator of the heavens and the earth, Giver of this and every moment, open our hearts and minds to feel your presence through your silence, scripture, sacrament, and prayers offered. Feed us with your wisdom. Feed us with your goodness and send us home changed, transformed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, our family name, transcendent Father, omnipresent Son, immanent indwelling, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Staying in this place of quiet, let us listen with the ear of the heart to God's word. The first reading is taken from the book of Hosea, chapter 10. Israel is a luxuriant vine whose fruit matches its growth. The more abundant his fruit, the more altars he built, the more productive his land, the more sacred pillars he set up. Their heart is false. Now they pay for their guilt. God shall break down their altars and destroy their sacred pillars. If they would say, "We have no king," since they do not fear the Lord, what can the king do for them? The king of Samaria shall disappear like foam upon the waters. The high places of Avon shall be destroyed. The sin of Israel, thorns and thistles, shall overgrow their altars. Then they shall cry out to the mountains, "Cover us," and to the hills, "Fall upon us." Sow for yourselves justice. Reap the fruit of piety. Break up for yourselves a new field. For it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain down justice upon you. The word of the Lord. The second reading is taken from Psalm 105, and the response is, "Seek always the face of the Lord." Seek always the face of the Lord. Seek always the face of the Lord. Sing to him, sing his praise, proclaim all his wondrous deeds, glory in his holy name. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Seek always the face of the Lord. Look to the Lord in his strength. Seek to serve him constantly. Recall the wondrous deeds that he has wrought, his portents and the judgments he has uttered. Seek always the face of the Lord. You descendants of Abraham, his servants, sons of Jacob, his chosen ones, he, the Lord, is our God. Throughout the earth his judgments prevail. Seek always the face of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The gospel reading is taken from Matthew chapter 10. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to cure every disease and every illness. The names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon, the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus. Jesus sent out these 12 after instructing them thus, "Do not go into pagan territory or enter a Samaritan town. Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, make this proclamation: the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The Gospel of our Lord and Savior.
Just two simple themes tonight, perhaps to use as a lens to hear these scriptures, and that is inner guidance and inner authority. Inner guidance and inner authority. Guidance is very important. GPS navigation is very important. There was a night I made a very foolish decision to leave Nukumaali Hermitage, which is 1,300 feet above the Pacific Ocean, and drive to L.A. to meet Bernadette. I figured I'd save time and drive through the night. So I left Nukumaali Hermitage around 11 o'clock at night, made my way down the mountain. And when I got to the mountain, down at the bottom of the mountain, which is along Highway 1 in the Pacific Ocean, I couldn't see this far in front of my face. It was socked in with fog. Anyone who's driven that route may know that. I made the foolish decision to proceed. And inch by inch, what should have taken me 3 hours took me 8 hours. This lack of inner guidance to avoid doing something so foolish, to turn around and go back to wait till the morning's interesting physical experience of dealing with listening for inner guidance. It becomes more serious in our lives when we're about to make major decisions and we're looking for inner guidance to know which way to go to avoid disaster, to avoid running off the cliff, so to speak, to avoid hitting something, to miss our ultimate destination, making big life decisions, choosing partners, making investments. These are all physical, historical, experiential things that we can seek guidance for. Becomes a bigger issue when we're dealing with spiritual guidance. And in this story tonight from Hosea, we experience a long time ago, this is 700 BC. So we are set in a context where you got someone named Hosea, who's a prophet, trying to give external guidance to his people, to say, warning, 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 if you keep living like this, there's imminent disaster coming your way. That was the role of prophets, to speak a word of external guidance to people to protect them from disaster. In particular, the inner guidance, the external guidance he was giving them came in the form of a rebuke, that as Israel had become more and more successful and affluent, their abundant fruit grew and grew the more they built altars and put up their sacred pillars. In other words, their affluence, their financial success, started to lead to idolatry. These pillars and these offerings and altars were to other gods, not to the God of Israel. So this prophet shows up and articulates something of an external guidance to them and says, essentially, if you don't stop, God's judgment's going to come upon you. Now, this is exactly why people don't read the Old Testament. Things like this bother us. Things like this trouble us. If you read the rest of the book of Hosea, which is part of the Old Testament readings for the remainder of this week, you will begin to see some bothersome things. If you read the whole book of Hosea, you'll see some bothersome things. God is portrayed in a way that's very external, in very angry, aggressive ways. The point is that the role of the prophet was to provide external guidance. And when someone gives us external guidance, what do we often do with it? We're often not very open to it because it's not coming from within, it's coming from without. And sometimes we don't even ask for that external guidance. And that's why prophets are often killed, because no one wants to hear the word they're offering. No one wishes to really get the external guidance. We want to do what we want to do. And so in our lives, we oftentimes are given these special people that come along, situations or circumstances that are here to offer that external guidance. And it comes in different ways in our day and age. We have to be listening. We have to be on the alert. We have to even be willing or even wanting external guidance. But the shift to the New Testament reading from the Gospel of Matthew shows us this inner guidance and authority that comes along through Jesus, that no longer is the external guidance or the external authority there in a prophet. Now something else is being conveyed and given. Listen very carefully. It's very subtle, but the point is being made. The shift is being moved from the external role to the internal authority that is being given here. Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits. So this authority that is being given is really the inner authority that we are all in need of to know the distinction and know the contrast between knowing right from wrong, between knowing what is good and what is better. So this inner authority and this inner guidance that is being given by Jesus is a reminder to us that no external amount of prophetic word, no external even scripture, will give you that internal certainty of clarity of knowing which way to go to avoid disaster, to knowing which way you are to choose for what is good and true and beautiful for your life, to, as it were, heal or cleanse you from the unclean spirits that are keeping you from the fullness of wisdom or the fullness of life or the fullness of goodness. And just think about this in your own life. Where do you need help with discernment, with a decision? Where are you confronting a difficulty in a relationship that's, as it were, an unclean spirit, keeping you perhaps sad or downcast? Where might you not be feeling the freedom of the joy and the fullness of the life in Christ? Well, these are all ideas to ponder where we might be experiencing less than the goodness of inner authority and inner guidance. That is to say, where we might need more freedom to choose courageously how the Spirit is leading each of our lives, and not give in to the power of fear, not give in to the dynamics that keep us from doubting God's power in each of our lives. So when we see these passages in the Old Testament, one way to just simply understand that is that they're external. And the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus is giving to us is to not need so much these scriptures, but to listen for the inner guidance and the inner authority, which is spiritual and not so rational. And many times we must understand that what we read in Scripture is laid down, as it were, as a primary education so that we can move from it into a secondary experience, a secondary education of our own inner guidance and our own inner authority, so that we can walk on the waters, that we can cast out the unclean spirits and the demons, so to speak, that so easily plague us. Not waiting for someone else, like a prophet, or no offense, Janice, a therapist, or a pastor, or someone external to your life to come along and tell you what to do. And thus live like, you might say, never graduating, or living on the crutch of something external, and thus never taking inner authority for your own choices and your own guidance. And this becomes a really important thing to say, I'm living my life. I'm not living someone else's life. And I'm choosing this and not that based on my inner guidance and this inner authority. And anything less, you might say, is not the fullness of who you were created to be. It doesn't mean that we stop listening to Scripture or stop listening to counselors in our life or stop listening for others' input. But there is an invitation here to make this courageous shift from the external things, which seem so certain. Well, you're a prophet, or you're a priest, or you're a king, or you're a billionaire, or you're a leader, or you're the pastor. No, you're just as qualified to listen for the inner guidance and inner authority coming from above than anyone with a title or anyone with a degree. And that's the invitation and the freedom to this spiritual life, that we are accountable to Spirit and Spirit alone. That's the vertical dimension. Is it scary? Yes. It's very scary. But it's also very fruitful. And lastly, what this is really calling us to, deeply calling us to, is the fearlessness of moving away from all forms and names of God that we place upon God, for all forms and even all forms of practices, and to walk into the darkness with pure faith, to walk into the nothingness of our situations with pure faith, to walk into the cloud of unknowing that engulfs us from time to time in our lives with the certainty that you don't know anything, that you can't see anything, but you're going that way, and you're listening and trusting and waiting upon that inner guidance and that inner authority. I always like to end with the reminder that this is ultimately what the dying process leads us to, is this deep surrender. No one else can die for us, physically or spiritually. And so this is really this inner guidance and this inner authority of letting our life go, spiritually and physically. No one else can do it for us. No one else can live our lives for us. And this is really the evolution from the Old Testament to the New Testament to the now. It's even more radical from where Jesus was today, because we live in a culture and an age that is dim to the power of the Holy Spirit, and that is very alive to the material dimension. And at the same time, very open to spiritual things. It's a peculiar time. And so in each of our lives, I invite you to ponder where you might be called to step out into the cloud of unknowing, to the fog banks, not to run away back to mommy or to the pastor or to the scriptures, but to keep going forward in pure faith and courage without any other confidence or hope than the evidence right here and right here alone. That's real faith. And what do you know? People come along and encourage us when we're starting to get too afraid or doubt ourselves. And that's a beautiful thing. And that's really the gift of community, that each of us are coming under that inner guidance and that inner authority in our own way, but that we encourage one another and we're accountable to one another. Is that right? Is that what you're hearing? Interesting. Have you considered this? And so we love one another, not by challenging each other, but by inviting accountability to one another, and thus we journey on the journeys of our lives, encouraging one another, not thinking that we're the expert of someone else's life, but simply listening with an empathetic ear. Sounds like you're going through a difficult time. Sounds like you're trying to make a decision. I'm with you. The Spirit will guide you. That we are all learners, not necessarily experts at anything. And I think that keeps us humble, and it keeps us open to the Spirit of things and what the Spirit is trying to do with us and this world, giving us inner guidance and inner authority moment by moment as it's needed. Amen. May the love of God, the grace of Christ, the peace, presence, and power of the Holy Spirit anoint you and with the certainty of inner guidance and authority. Amen.